Well, turn to Romans chapter 1, verse 16. Romans chapter 1, verse 16. Just a simple thought tonight on a word that's in this passage here in Romans 1, 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also the Greek. Paul says, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we ask you please in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to help us tonight. We want to give something simple to us from your scripture that has very profound consequences if we respond properly to what we see in the scripture tonight. We need your help. So we ask you to show us what's in here, how to apply it to our lives so we can live by it. We also pray for the teens who are in their class tonight. We ask you please to fill Tony with your Holy Spirit. Help them to be attentive to the things that he teaches, that they may be well grounded in their doctrine. And thank you for getting us here tonight safely. Now we ask you to do these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So Paul said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. But you know something? It seems in our lives that there are circumstances. I say situations, not really circumstances, but situations where you're faced with an opportunity to tell somebody else about the Lord Jesus Christ, and there is something that wells up inside of you, depending on who this person is or what the situation is, and you kind of talk yourself out of saying anything about the Lord. And it is as if, and I say you, we, it's as if we're ashamed to say anything about Jesus Christ. You know, I can imagine here at church, nobody would be ashamed to say anything about the Lord. We'd stand up and praise God for everything he's done. But there may be some folks that you know in your life, perhaps somebody you know at school, and you're not sure that you really want them to know you're a Christian, or there's somebody you work with and you just don't know how to get a conversation started, or maybe there's a neighbor or a family member. And there's a hold back. Paul said, I'm not ashamed. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. And the reason he said, I'm not ashamed, it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. And truly, we can't decide who's going to believe and who's not going to believe. The gruffest, roughest, seemingly most disinterested person may really believe the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, you heard, you know, a case of that in a missionary letter. It just sounded like that person wouldn't be interested in the gospel at all. Surprisingly, you know, she got saved. And so you don't know what to, you can't make the decision for them. And Paul said, even if you've got somebody that would be reluctant, he said, this gospel is powerful. It is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. And the power of God absolutely changes us. We in here tonight are not the same people that we were before we got saved. It's amazing what God's done in our lives. And so when you find that you're reluctant to bring up salvation, the gospel, around somebody, family or friends, I want us to look tonight at some scriptures that will help us, you know, recognize this reluctance, this ashamed, if you will, and encourage us to tell others when we feel that way, when we feel reluctant to do so. And we'll just look at four things tonight. We should not be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ for these reasons. I mean, obviously, the first one, it's not, I said four, if you want to consider the text you're in, five, it's the power. It's the power of God. What else are they going to hear that's going to turn them to Jesus Christ? We have nothing else to offer besides the gospel. And we really don't want to make that decision for them. We want to tell them and let them make the decision for themselves, even though they may seem disinterested at the time. That'd be really the first reason. The second is found in Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2. In Hebrews chapter 2, verses 11 and 12, We're speaking of Jesus Christ. You can see that in verse 9 in the context. But in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 11 and 12, "For both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one. For which cause he," that's Jesus Christ, "is not ashamed to call them brethren, saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee." All right, secondly, we should not be ashamed of the gospel because Jesus Christ is not ashamed of us. I mean, think about where we came from. Think about who you were before you got saved and what Jesus Christ has done in your life now. And he is not ashamed to be associated with us. He's not ashamed to say, this person right here is my brother. Well, if he is not ashamed to call us brethren after all that we have done, we should not be ashamed to call him our Lord after all he's done. I mean, who gets the better end of this thing? He's perfect and has done nothing wrong. We are not perfect and weren't certainly before we got saved. And yet he says, that's my brother right there. I won't say a lot more about that particular topic. I just have meditated on that particular thought in my life. And I'm thinking, how is it ever, and I know I've done it, how is it ever that I would be ashamed to claim him when he's not ashamed to claim me? Whew. That is a very profound thought. Another reason is found in 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4. At verses 13 through 16. 16, actually, I'm looking at some words in these texts. They're all the same word. It's the word ashamed. But beginning in verse 13 of 1 Peter chapter 4, the Lord says, "Rejoice inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy. If you be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, or as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a busybody in other men's matters. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf." We're not ashamed because the gospel is the power of God. We're not ashamed because he's not ashamed of us. And we're not ashamed because God through us is glorified. Have you ever thought, how can I glorify God? You know, we read in the Bible in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, "Whether therefore you eat or drink, do all to the glory of God." But when you sat down at lunch today, did you really think you were glorifying God when you were chowing down that pork chop? Or when you were drinking your morning smoothie or your morning coffee? Was the idea of glorifying God running through your mind? Generally, when I get up in the morning and make my first cup of coffee, I'm just trying to wake up. I mean, really, seriously. So we think sometimes, how in the world can I glorify God? One of the greatest ways is to bear that reproach for the name of Christ in verse 14. To be a partaker of Christ's suffering in verse 13. He says in verse 14, "On their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified." And in verse 16, "If any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf." Before Jesus Christ went to the cross, He asked his father to glorify himself, and he said, I have glorified myself and I will. And he was glorified in the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know what the problem is? We think that if we're going to say something for the Lord Jesus Christ, we might suffer for it. Some people say, you know, if I say anything about the Lord here, I might lose my job. Somebody might say, if I say anything about the Lord, I might lose this friend. Some people might say, if I say anything about the Lord, I might lose the opportunity to say anything about the Lord. Well, if you're not going to say anything about the Lord now, what makes you think you're going to say something about the Lord later? When is the opportunity suddenly going to be better? If I say anything about the Lord, they may not like what I have to say, or they may say something bad about me. All of those things are true. But that didn't enter through Jesus Christ's mind when he decided to glorify God by going to the cross. And he says, you'll be glad with exceeding joy if you suffer now when my glory is revealed. He says, don't let that thought really cross your mind. Allow my Father to be glorified through the reproach you bear when you bring up my name. I don't think you should be unwise about that, and I don't think that you ought to be a pest about that, about witnessing. Somebody says, I might lose my job if I do that. If your employer says, I don't want you witnessing while you're on the job, there's nothing wrong with taking somebody for coffee or going at lunch or using your coffee break time to speak. He wants a working place where people are concentrating on the work. I got that. So you don't have to do something to violate good employment practice. But you don't have to be ashamed. You don't have to be ashamed because the gospel's powerful, and you don't have to be ashamed because he's not ashamed of us. That's an awesome thought. And you don't have to be ashamed because really it's when we bear that reproach that God is glorified. Then look at 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1. I'd say the greatest reason that I've ever not spoken to somebody else about the Lord Jesus Christ is fear. Sometimes I didn't because I just didn't care. I mean, there was not enough compassion to move me to think, oh man, I got to stop everything and try to rescue this soul. But other times it was just fear. This may not go well. I'm not sure I'm not going to know what to say. 2 Timothy chapter 1, we've often quoted verse 7, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. You've got that verse memorized. But have you ever looked at the context? Look at verse 8. Be not thou therefore ashamed. And that's the word that's common to all these verses we're looking at. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. See, what we've already studied concerning suffering and concerning the power of God and the testimony of our Lord are all in the context of this verse dealing with God hath not given us the spirit of fear. In other words, when you and I have the opportunity to tell another person about the Lord Jesus Christ and the emotion that builds up in us is fear, that didn't come from God. That came from us. And when we can put aside that fear, you know, he says, he that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city without wall, a city that is broken down and without walls. When fear causes us to turn away from an opportunity, then, you know, what leaves with us is the power and the love and the sound mind. When you engage somebody in a conversation about the Lord, it takes a sound mind to be responsive to the Holy Spirit about what to say next. It takes love to even have enough compassion to want to talk to him in the first place, and of course power, which is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. So he says, be not thou therefore, in verse 8, ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me as prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles. For the which cause I also suffer these things, nevertheless I am not ashamed. You see it? Verse 12, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. What are you afraid of? What am I afraid of? That we're going to lose something? You say, well, we might lose a friend. If they don't get saved, you've already lost a friend. Well, I might lose, I might bear reproach, or I might, there's this fear that something bad might happen to me. Something bad might happen to me. I might get hit or what? Rejected. Absolutely. Or and who likes ridicule? That's a very scary thing. Absolutely. But you know something? Keeping what you've read here in mind, turn to Philippians chapter 1 and look at verses 20 and 21. Philippians chapter 1, verses 20 and 21. That fear of rejection that Maureen mentioned there, that fear of ridicule, that is, I think, strongest of all. But look what Paul said in Philippians chapter 1, verses 20 and 21. He said, according to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but with all boldness, as always, so now also, Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death, for to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. The question is, what do you have to lose? What do you have to lose? This context that in Philippians chapter 1, you know that Paul has been imprisoned and some people are preaching and making fun of him, and some people have become bold because they see he can take it, and now they're preaching. Rejection really never crossed their mind. Ridicule never crossed their mind. You know what crossed their mind? Death. I might die for doing this. As many times as Paul had been beaten and stoned and whipped and imprisoned and every bad thing that happened to him. And you know what his statement was in verse 21? For to me to live is Christ and to die is what? When a man knows going into this, or a woman knows going into this, that she could die, what is there to be afraid of? If die is gain, you know, the attitude is bring it on. And so Paul said, that's why I can do this with all boldness in verse 20. And that's why he said, in nothing I shall be ashamed. You know what absolutely baffles politicians today that are opposed to President Trump? And you know what absolutely baffles the media today that are opposed to President Trump? He's not afraid of them. And now he's saying things that you wish all politicians could say and trying to make decisions that at least he thinks, by the counsel he receives and the job he occupies, that are in the best interest of the country. And when people try to control him by taking his cabinet members before special councils of the Senate to make inquiry or to say things bad about him in the media or to threaten him here and there, he doesn't care. He doesn't care. And you know what? You, whether you like him or not, have found that refreshing. If a man can do that holding a political office, can we not do more than that with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ? What do you have to lose? And really and truly, what do we have to be afraid of? When God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind, and to die is gain, there's no reason to be ashamed. And then finally, we should not be ashamed because, turn to Titus chapter 2, verses 7 and 8. Finally, we should not be ashamed because it is they, we should not be ashamed because it is they, not we, who should be ashamed. We made the right choice. We have the right message. And in Titus chapter 2, verses 7 and 8, notice, in all things, Paul's talking to Titus, in all things, showing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine, showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. The shoe should be on the other foot. The person who ought to be ashamed is the person who's rejecting Jesus Christ. You're simply an ambassador and a messenger trying to do something that's very beneficial for them. They may not understand it, but the truth of the matter is, if your speech is sound, verse 8, and cannot be condemned, verse 8, they're ashamed because they have no evil thing to say of you. Isn't that amazing? We always think it's going to fall back bad on us. But we're the ones trying to do them a favor. You say, well, you know what? I don't know that I know enough to have the sound speech that cannot be condemned. Well, turn to 2 Timothy 2:15. The word that we find common to all these passages is which word? The word ashamed. And so when you think of what we've just said in Titus 2, 7 and 8, look at 2 Timothy 2:15 and consider the context of the word ashamed here. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Every time I've read that, I've always said a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, that is, not ashamed before God when he quizzes me on what I've studied in the Bible. But in the context of Titus chapter 2, verses 7 and 8, if you've studied to show yourself approved unto God, you won't be ashamed in a conversation because sound speech that cannot be condemned comes forth. You say, is that true? Consider Jesus Christ and every conversation he got into with people who were trying to catch something out of his mouth that they could use against him. He was never ashamed. They were. He always gave sound speech. And every time they tried to trip him, they ended up marveling at his doctrine and couldn't find a way to catch him. Now, I believe the same Holy Spirit and the same words of God that guided him are the same Holy Spirit and the same words of God that guide us. And so when you study with this in mind. I may be called upon by the Lord at some point to use what I'm learning now to speak to somebody else that doesn't know Jesus Christ so that they, through the power of the gospel, can be saved. Or, if they try to challenge by sound speech, it is they and not we who'll be ashamed. At least we've tried for a good cause. Amen? Father, thank you tonight for an opportunity to look in the words of God and be encouraged by what you've shown us in the Scripture. And I pray, Heavenly Father, you will use these things. I am so thankful, Father, that truly you're not ashamed of us. You should be, but you're not. Because you love us and you died for us and you gave us your eternal life. And now you've given us your words and your Holy Spirit. I pray that you will help us follow what we've heard tonight and be encouraged about these things for Jesus' sake. Amen.